Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines will as the faculty of the mind by which we determine either to do or forbear an action. We exercise will from the start to the finish, even to one's last will and testament. The redeemed are cautioned to be God-willed and not self-willed. The first use of the word self-will and the curse in which it resulted is found in Genesis 46:6. Seeking God's will is central to abundant and even eternal life, and it is God's will that all men should be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man has been given a free will to exercise in life. It's his choice to either be self-willed or God-willed. The outcomes are 180 degrees out. Will today be the day you surrender your will to God? Will today be your day of salvation? Will today be the day your new name is written down in heaven? Will today be your day where all sin and all shame are forgiven and totally forgotten? If you have yet to surrender your will to Christ, click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 1:26-27, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God said, Genesis 3, verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. God said, Genesis 5, 1 and 2, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created Adam, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Man said, ludicrous! The entire idea of the Bible's book of Genesis and a God of creation is simply stupid. Now the record. I need to know it's true and righteous altogether. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, every jot and every tittle. One must admit that many events narrated in God's Word strain carnal credulity. Some of the most bizarre claims of God's Word are addressed on this website and certified true beyond any reasonable doubt. One of the strains upon the mind of unbelief is Adam and Eve, the father and mother of all living on the earth today. Could it be true? Certifiably true? Of course. Several foundational God said, man said features will be referenced before highlighting today's latest edition. Western society today generally sees themselves as more sophisticated and enlightened than generations of days long past, and most people today do not even bother to study the thoughts and beliefs of their forefathers. The theory of evolution contributes to this deranged mindset by teaching society that our forefathers were actually knuckle-dragging apes who lived in caves and we are their enlightened offspring. But is this really true? Are we really getting smarter and better as time goes on? Were our forefathers dumber and less capable than we are today? The evidence, as we shall see, tells a much different story. God said, man said feature, dangerous devolution at the door. In part one of this feature, we discussed the genetic decay of all living species and demonstrated that not only is natural selection not improving our gene code, it is wholly incapable of even preserving what we already have. All life is on a sure path to extinction, and it seems there is little we can do to slow it. In part two, we will provide real-world examples of genetic decay in action and show that modern man's narcissism is as ill-founded as his belief in evolution. As a paleoanthropologist, Peter McAllister, has done considerable research in the study of human history. Being an evolutionist, he supposed his studies would reveal that modern man is at the top of his game, while ancient man lags far behind. After all, Evolutionary teaching presupposes that we have been slowly evolving into some greater being since the beginning of time. The truth he soon discovered, however, was not so flattering. The following is from his book, Manthropology, The Science of Why the Modern Male is Not the Man He Used to Be. I didn't set out to destroy the image of modern males when I started this book. Far from it. As a paleoanthropologist and a man, I love my brother males. I would write an ABC of the virtues of Homo masculinus modernus, comparing him to earlier men to prove that he is, we are, the crowning glory of humanity's long evolutionary struggle up from our inauspicious beginnings as leopard food on the African savanna. As you will see, I failed. In fact, I didn't even get past B. I discovered to my horror that it's impossible to write a book about the superior achievements of modern males because we haven't made any. From battling to booze, babes and bravado, there's nothing we can do that ancient men and sometimes women have already done better, faster, stronger, and usually smarter. Typically, that knowledge dawned on me slowly. Like any challenged male seeking to cover up a gnawing sense of inadequacy, I started by picking on a girl, to be precise. I decided that demonstrating how strong modern men are compared to our ancient brethren, thanks to fitness, science, and superior nutrition, would make a great beginning. So I calculated the average upper arm strength of several winners of the World Arm Wrestling Federation Championships since 2000 and compared it to that of the Neanderthals who lived in Europe in the Upper Paleolithic roughly 40,000 years B.C. I must have already sensed I would need to stack the deck a little since, for some reason, I decided to start with a Neanderthal woman. That did me no good, however, for a troubling inconsistency quickly emerged. She was stronger. I checked and rechecked the data, but there was no mistake. Incredibly, it seemed that even a random, anonymous Neanderthal female would slam the big men of the WAF to the table every time. The further back I went, the more calamitous the news became, end of quote. It should be noted that Neanderthal man did not live 40,000 years ago, and he was just as human as you and I. For more information, see Neanderthal man. McAllister soon discovered that in every area of human physiology, ancient man had us beat in strength, speed, and endurance, end of quotes. God said, man said feature. Why chromosome Adam and God's children are already there. The headline in the September 7, 2013 issue of Science News reads, Why Chromosome Adam Gets Older. And the subhead reads, Male and female ancestors were roughly contemporary. On God Said, Man Said, you will find several features that address this issue and that confirm Holy Writ. Several excerpts from the September feature in Science News follows. Men might need some more pages in their family album. The largest analysis to date of the human Y chromosome suggests that modern men can trace their family tree further back in time than previously thought. One of the studies, an analysis of 65 men from 9 populations worldwide, published in the August 2 issue of Science, finds that their most recent common ancestor lived 120,000 to 156,000 years ago. That's roughly the same time that the last common ancestor of woman is estimated to have lived, researchers report. The Y chromosome passed down from father to son and mitochondrial DNA passed down from mother to child are useful in retracing ancestry because they don't undergo genetic reshuffling as the rest of the genetic instruction book does. Researchers analyzed mutations in these parts of the genome to assess when groups split apart. The hypothetical common ancestors of these genetic lineages are sometimes called Y chromosome Adam and mitochondrial Eve, end of quote. Darwinian scientists speculate that there were other humans besides Adam and Eve, but that they died out, but speculation is all that is. Again from Science News. But they are real people whose Y chromosome and mitochondrial DNA have been passed down with modifications to every living male and female. The findings may overturn previous results that suggested Y chromosome Adam was only a half or a third as old as mitochondrial Eve. Most previous analysis date the Y chromosome common ancestor to between 50,000 and 115,000 years ago, and the mitochondrial DNA common ancestor to be between 150,000 and 240,000 years ago. Bustamante and colleagues also looked at the mitochondrial DNA in their study population and found a common female ancestor 99,000 to 148,000 years ago. Another study in the same issue of Science pushes the Y ancestor back even further in time. Paola Francolacci of the University of Sassari in Italy and colleagues analyzed DNA from 1,204 Sardinian men and determined that Y chromosome Adam lived 180,000 to 200,000 years ago, end of quote. From evolutions, no particular original couple and no particular unique location. Two, a first man and first woman with sub-Saharan African roots, and you guessed it, the children of faith were already there. God's word is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever, end of quote. God said, man said, dumb and dumber in 6,000 years. Is the Bible true? Is the earth only 6,000 years old? Does extra biblical information confirm it? Microbiology's study of DNA continues the knock to pinning out from under the theory of evolution. The following paragraphs are from the God Said, Man Said feature, mitochondrial DNA in a young first man and first woman. Shittick continues his dissertation and goes on to quote Ann Gibbons, as she wrote in the January 2, 1998 issue of Science. The title of the Gibbons article is, Calibrating the Mitochondrial Clock, Shittick writes. What has been the result of further investigations since the 1988 and 1995 results were published? An interesting subsequent development has been calibration of the mitochondrial clock by using actually observed data rather than by using speculation from evolutionism. The result has shown that the clock ticks very much faster than expected, end of quote. Gibbons reports, mitochondrial DNA appears to mutate much faster than expected, prompting new DNA forensics procedures and raising troubling questions about the dating of evolutionary events. In 1991, Russians exhumed a Siberian grave containing nine skeletons thought to be the remains of the last Russian Tsar Nicholas II and his family and retinue who were shot by firing squad in 1918. But two bodies were missing, so no one could be absolutely certain of the identity of the remains. And DNA testing done in 1992, expected to settle the issue, quickly instead raised a new mystery. The mystery concerned dates relating to the clock rate. It appears that mutations occur at a much more rapid pace than had been imagined. Although there seems to be considerable debate about the cause of the faster rate has been verified by independent investigations. Again, Gibbons says, regardless of the cause, evolutionists are most concerned about the effect of a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated that mitochondrial Eve, the woman whose mtDNA was ancestral to that in all living people, lived 100 to 2,000 years ago in Africa. Using the new clock, she would be a mere 6,000 years old, end of quote. In the 2012 God Said, Man Said feature, New Science Says Bible True Again, we find the following. In the September 2012 issue of Acts and Facts, science writer Brian Thomas wrote concerning the age of man and the earth under the title, A Recent Explosion of Human Diversity. Several paragraphs follow. Everyone should know that the cosmos was created. It also stands to reason that those who listen to Moses and the prophets, as Jesus said, should be able to see more specific evidence of biblical creation, including scientific discoveries. One such evidence is human genetic diversity, which leaves evolutionary history in a quagmire while confirming a straightforward interpretation of Genesis. The research team investigated the amount of diversity among today's human genes and how long it took to reach the current amount of diversity. They concluded that human genes diversified recently, the authors wrote. The maximum likelihood time for accelerated growth was 5,115 years ago. This is a tiny fraction, 0.2%, of the 2.4 million years of humanity that evolutionists suppose. The explosion of human genetic diversity has occurred in parallel with and because of human population growth. With each new person comes another opportunity for DNA differences to arise, either by design genetic shuffling processes or mutations. For example, if the evolutionary timeline is true, then human population growth and genetic diversity were miraculously unchanged for a few million years before suddenly exploding in just the last few thousand years. What are the odds that every married couple would have had almost exactly two offspring, just enough to replace the parents, survive into the next generation for over 2 million years or 100,000 straight generations? In addition, where are all the human remains that should litter the planet after having been peopled for so long? In short, why does the human genetic diversity data fit so well with biblical creation? Evolutionary theory provides no real answer to what caused the radical bottleneck in the worldwide human population at that time, whereas the Bible teaches that it was Noah's flood. This genetic study confirms Moses and the prophets. Both science and scripture show that humans have multiplied and diversified within the past 5,100 years. End of quote. The headline in the December 29, 2012 issue of Science News reads, "Human Diversity's Recent Explosion." The subhead reads, "Most genetic variation came about in last 5,000 years." The more science looks into the invisible, the more the facts shout yes to God's holy Bible. Keep in mind that God is invisible, and He created all out of that which is invisible. Now consider this headline from the May 2013 issue of Acts and Facts. "Is mankind getting dumber?" Several paragraphs written by science writer Brian Thomas follow. Do today's children have lower IQs than yesterday's? Yes, according to measurements of intellectual and emotional strength gathered from different countries and contexts. The results show the same basic decline and resist the notion that public or other forms of education are to blame. Could the cause instead lie within? Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree thinks so. He published a pair of essays in the journal Trends in Genetics, citing new discoveries that show why the human intellect is surprisingly fragile. This biblical creation-friendly notion didn't sit well with the authors of a rebuttal paper who countered that the human intellect is robust. What lies at the heart of this disagreement? Bad science or bad assumptions? Crabtree identified two fundamental processes as the main culprit. First, human intelligence uses neurons, and these cells can only function properly if their genes stay in top shape. Second, these genes are susceptible to degradation. This loss of organization occurs continually as mutations slowly, irreversibly garble genes, and the resulting errors pile up and are not corrected. Each new generation accrues about 60 new mutations to the gene-coding DNA regions of the human genome. Crabtree applied this rate to calculate that every 20 to 50 generations, we should sustain a mutation in one copy of one of our ID genes. As a result, in the past 3,000 years, about 120 generations, each of us should have accumulated, at the very least, 2.5 to 6 mutations in ID genes. Accordingly, the human intellect perhaps reached a peak 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. This appears to confirm three lessons that can be drawn from the Bible. First, Adam and Eve's brains were originally very good. Second, we had our best brains about 6,000 years ago. Third, humanity has suffered genetic degradation since then under the curse. Both Crabtree and his detractors tried to extrapolate some set of numbers to make conclusions about the unobservable past. The rebuttal authors who resist the genetic decay principle handpicked numbers that support evolutionary history. Crabtree instead used numbers collected from real-world studies. And these studies present an ever clearer case for a human race that was very good at the start, but is steadily falling apart. End of quotes. Science writer Brian Thomas again writes under the heading, "Does Modern Genetics Confirm a Historical Adam?" in the April 2016 issue of Acts and Facts. If mankind evolved from ape-like ancestors, then our DNA should look messy from millions of years of trial and error mutations. Instead, it looks nice and tidy. Almost every cell in our bodies contains DNA. It holds much of the information needed to construct and maintain a human body by managing everyday cellular life. If all mankind came from Adam, as the Bible teaches, then God must have packaged encyclopedias of coded instructions into Adam and Eve right from the start. Four amazing genetic discoveries powerfully confirm our biblical origins. First, evolution-minded geneticists assert that our ape-like ancestors lived around 3 million years ago and had other descendants that evolved into modern apes. If so, then human and modern ape DNA sequences should closely match. They don't. A comparison of whole genomes instead of select sequences already known to be similar shows that natural processes would have needed to add at least 360 million precisely placed information-packed DNA differences. This would be like asking wind or waves to write 10,000 useful instruction manuals. The most scientific explanation requires a master programmer with unheard-of expertise in nanotechnology who created Adam and ape kinds separately from the start. Second, nature-only devotees used the phrase junk DNA to describe 95% of the human genome they assumed had no function. Supposedly, millions of years of evolutionary mistakes accumulated all that junk. But when geneticists actually investigated those DNA sequences, they discovered that cells use and need them. Bye-bye, evolutionary junk. Hello, well-crafted Adam. Third, studies reveal genetic clocks that confirm the Bible's timeline of a recent creation. Every generation, sperm and egg cells incorporate over 100 DNA copying errors. These errors, or mutations, gradually build up. This means you have at least 100 more mutations than your parents, 200 more than your grandparents, 300 more than your grandparents, etc. Wind back the mutation clock far enough and we arrive at Adam and Eve, whose DNA was created error-free. At this rate, humanity wouldn't last for even 1,000 generations. Finally, geneticists have found evidence for Eve in mitochondrial DNA called mtDNA. We inherit this kind of genetic code from our mothers, and it accumulates mutations like nuclear DNA does. Every person tested so far has one of three fundamental lineages or versions of mtDNA, either M, N, or R. The wives of Noah's three sons explain this intriguing detail of modern human genetics. Genesis 10:32 says, "These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood." Geneticists worked out the equivalent of Eve's mtDNA sequence by subtracting all the mutations that have occurred since its creation. Human-chimp DNA differences, densely packed and functional DNA information, genetic clocks, and mtDNA reconstructions clearly point to recent creation. Genetics strongly confirms Adam and Eve were real. End of quote. Devolution, not evolution, and that's what science is discovering today. A real, physical Adam and Eve just over 6,000 years ago. Yes, just like the Bible says. God said, Genesis 1:26 and 27, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God said, Genesis 3:20, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." God said, Genesis 5:1-2, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." Man said, "Ludicrous. The entire idea of the Bible's book of Genesis and a God of creation is simply stupid. Now you have the record.